From Charter Hall and Banish, this is Sustainability Further. I'm your host, Lottie DL. You're listening to Sustainability Further, a podcast by Charter Hall. One of Australia's leading property groups, Charter Hall is focused on creating innovative spaces and going further to build a better future for all. Nestlé is working behind the scenes of your favourite chocolate bars to transform the FMCG industry. For example, as one of the first members of APCO and a key player in curbside soft plastic collection trials, they are challenging the status quo. In this episode, we speak to Margaret Stewart, the Director of Corporate Affairs and Sustainability for Nestlé Oceania. Margaret, I'm thrilled to have you on the podcast today. Firstly, I wanted to ask you a rather big question. What does sustainability mean to you?
I think the question of what sustainability means to somebody is one of those questions that's like thousands of words have been published on this and nobody's reached a conclusion. I think sustainability to me means that over time, what you do is impact neutral. But for Nestlé, we're now looking beyond that and look at the question of how can what we do actually be regenerative, which is the step beyond sustainability. So how can we be part of regeneration?
No, I think it's really great. And it's really exciting step to see because we're not seeing that many individuals or organizations really taking that step towards regeneration. So for our listeners who haven't heard of Nestlé's packaging goals in particular, can you explain a little bit about what they are?
So our vision ultimately is that none of our packaging ends up in the environment. We would like all our packaging to be recovered and recycled. So the first part of that is how do we make all our packaging recyclable or reusable? And we've put a goal in that for 2025. The other part of that is how do we reduce our use of virgin plastic? So how do we make sure that we're using more plastic that comes from recycled sources? How do we use less plastic? How do we replace plastic with other materials? There are a whole range of different things we can do to pull that particular lever. Ultimately, though, like in looking at these packaging goals, we have to recognise that it's not actually enough just for us to make recyclable packaging. We also need to look at recycling systems and to look at the question of consumer behaviour and how do we try and address some of those things. So we're looking at the entire value chain for packaging to go, where can we actually make a difference here? And that's of course, the majority of the focus has been on plastics, but that's regardless of the type of packaging. How can we make a difference right through the value chain to make that work?
No, it's a really, really interesting topic and it's a big one. There is a lot to literally unpack, pun intended there, because I think there is so many different ways that you can approach it and there's also so many different outcomes as well, some of which I don't think we're entirely sure what they're exactly going to be.
Actually, the thing of not knowing what the journey is going to look like, for me, that's been one of the hard things because we have worked towards in Australia vision for soft plastic packaging. And we've got a really clear idea of the end game, but there are so many organisations involved in what might happen there and so many sectors. We don't hold all the answers. And so last year when we put that vision out there, it was a little bit confronting, I guess, to know that we didn't really necessarily know what came next, but that what came next would rely on others. So perhaps the thing that I think is most critical in this space is collaboration because so many organisations have different expertise and different perspectives. And when you start to talk to them, you understand complexity and unpack complexity you didn't know was there before. And so that journey from not knowing to I'm starting to understand more and I need to bring other people to bring their pieces of puzzle, their puzzle pieces to the picture, become part of what we need to do.
No, I think it's really interesting. And we saw that when the Australian Packaging Covenant organization kind of was formed and Australia was one of the first members of that, which is bringing together not only kind of other key players, but also your competitors together to drive towards the Australian 2025 national packaging targets. What does a conversation like that look like?
It's important when we talk to competitors. Obviously, the first thing when we talk with competitors is you can't behave in an anti-competitive way. That's always the elephant in every room like that. But we do know that what needs to be achieved I'll have to add, there's a healthy competition among competitors to be first to market with things or to be the one that comes out with the great innovation. That is really healthy, but we also know that for this to make a difference, we need to make a difference not just for our own brands, but on a systemic level, Australia-wide. And that's why we need to talk not just about our own packaging, but about the systems in which our packaging go out, about the systems within which they're labelled, about the systems which within which they're collected and processed for recycling. And so that's where an organisation like APCO can play a really important role in getting us out of our brands and into the systems thinking about how do we actually make a genuine difference.
Now, and just on that kind of collection of materials and of recycling, I really wanted to talk to you today about Nestlé's partnership with IQ Renew, which saw the first Australian trial of curbside soft plastic collection. What were some of the biggest learnings from that?
I have to say we weren't the first, but we were really keen from Nestlé's perspective. A lot of our packaging is in soft plastic, and we were keen to see where could we make a difference for soft plastic. We spent a lot of time talking to a lot of people to try and understand what that might be, and eventually found our way to talking with IQ Renew, and together with them did a trial of curbside collection of soft plastics on the New South Wales Central Coast. We started initially with about 2,000 households, and then it expanded more broadly. There was a lot of excitement about the trial, and there was also some cynicism about the trial as well. There was assumptions about things that might happen which turned out to be wrong. So there was a view that soft plastics would become tangled in equipment or tangled in the truck. But what actually tended to happen with, because I should go back a step, the way that this trial is actually run has been run is consumers put their soft plastic into a plastic bag, tie the bag up, tag it and stick it in their mixed recycling bin. The beauty of that is it's no more truck runs or nothing extra to actually do the collection. And by putting it in a bag, it does stop that thing where soft plastics get tangled around other things. And the bags didn't break in transit. If anything, they tended to act like big pillows. They just squashed down and then they puffed back up again when they weren't compressed anymore. And so that it turned out the learnings about how the plastics behaved on the line and how they behaved in the truck were really important. The other thing that's really key is how consumers used it. Of course, we were working with a volunteer cohort, and so they're naturally more motivated, but there was less contamination than we had anticipated, and the consumer response to it was really strong. That's now rolled out across the Central Coast, and I understand Newcastle Council are also running with something similar, but it's not necessarily every household, it's those households that want to participate, which I think is an interesting path for curbside collection, because it does mean that you're able to, it does help us deal with some contamination issues. And who knows, maybe a path going forward for that.
No, I think it's really interesting and it's really exciting that you did see that reduction in, well, a reduced amount of contamination than you actually initially anticipated. So it is exciting to see. And I know that there was a lot of people within our community kind of saying, when is this coming to me? I would love this. Please bring it
back. I want it at my place too. We're actually very good at taking our bags back to the RedCycle at the supermarket. The shopping list and the shopping bags and the plastic bags for return just all sit together. Yep.
Yes, I think once you've got it and you've got the routine, but it would also be nice if the kind of people could just come straight to your doorstep and pick it up as well. So on a global scale, Nestlé has announced a plan to create a market for food grade recycled plastic. So what does this mean for the industry?
Okay, this was an announcement that we made a couple of years ago. And basically what the investment means and what the announcement means is that we are prepared to spend extra to get plastic packaging with recycled content. The challenge is that worldwide there's not enough of this content available. And so when a company like Nestlé sends a signal, the intent is that we send a demand signal, a signal that says we are prepared to pay extra, we want this stuff, please invest to help us get more of that stuff through. And so it becomes, because ultimately you need to complete a loop. Sometimes people think they're recycling when they put their waste in the bin. I think I actually have the view that the true recycler is the person that buys the thing made of recycled content, because that creates the financial flows that help the system run and means that what goes into the bin can actually be sorted and processed and become recycled. So one of the things that we've just done in Australia, for example, is just this week we've announced that we will have Australia's first soft plastic food wrapper with recycled content in it. It's got 30% recycled content. And it's our four-finger Kit Kat, and that'll be on store really in the coming days. People are really familiar with bottles made with recycled content, but to date, the methods that we've had for recycling soft plastic have meant that you can't make food-grade packaging because the mechanical recycling, which can be used for shrink film and can be used for park benches and all sorts of things, but it can't be used to make food-grade packaging because the only way to do that is to turn it back to oil. So it's new technology. There's not a lot available, but we've managed to secure some of that material. And again, that's part of how do we send a demand signal that says we want soft plastic packaging with recycled content. Please invest.
I think it's very, very exciting. And as you said, it's kind of that step. It's this kind of trial that's being put out there. And I get a question a lot from individuals saying kind of, what can we do? And it's just using your purchasing power and using your habits to actually prove that demand as well. So if you are investing in these kind of new ideas and innovation, and if you do go to the supermarket and you buy a Kit Kat or you buy the carrots that have no plastic wrapper in comparison to the ones that have a plastic wrapper, this all helps with those demand signals, which helps guide industry and businesses and organizations to keep on creating these changes.
That is exactly it. Our consumers, we want to respond to our consumers. And when our consumers tell us they want recycled content, then we want to deliver that. You know, they also send us other messages like we want to reduce plastic use as well. And in some instances, so we're taking different approaches with different products. It depends on the pack. Sometimes we've resized a pack to reduce the amount of plastic that's in it. So we did that with our baking chocolates. We made all the bags smaller and redesigned the bags to reduce some of the packaging, some of the plastic in them. That's a small change, but it makes a big difference when it starts to add up. All our Smarties, some of our Smarties were in paper already, but some were in plastic. Smarties globally is now in a paper-based packaging. So that's another way we can go, is let's look at an alternative material. Of course, with the Kit Kats, we've gone to recycled content. So there are a whole range of different levers we can pull to try and make a difference. And it really does come down to different things with different products to get that goal of recyclability and reduced plastic use.
No, definitely. I think it's great to see. And I think it's really exciting to see because you can tell your metrics as a company will be not only sales, but it will be engagement across marketing channels. And it will be kind of all of these things add up to then continuing on this journey and to keep on striving for better.
Yes, it's been interesting to, it is a journey of many, many small steps, because we are dealing in big systems and we have a complex product range. So lots of different system changes that we have to make that we hope ultimately will deliver something better and something that obviously we do want consumers to like what we're doing. That's obvious because there's additional cost associated with this. And so we hope that consumers like what we're doing. But regardless, we know that it's the right thing to do. And so storming ahead with the changes.
No, I think it's great and it's really, really exciting to see. And I just can't wait to see what else you've got in the innovation pipeline, because I'm sure there's a lot more of it.
It's certainly not a team that gets a lot of sleep. There is definitely more to come, definitely more to come.
This conversation is part of Charter Hall and Banish's podcast series, Sustainability Further. This series has been designed to inspire Australians to be more environmentally responsible and to take climate action. Sustainability Further is produced by Banish. Charter Hall's purpose is to create better futures by bringing aspirations to life.